grad student. Welcome to season two of Dear Grad Student. I am so thrilled to be back, and I'm so grateful to everyone for being so understanding about me needing a summer break. It was needed for the podcast. It was needed for PhD things. I am back. I am fresh. And today's episode is months in the making. I cannot tell you how excited I am for everyone to hear it. But before we do that, it is the first episode of the month, and everyone knows that it is time to do a patron shout out. Every patron who has big podcast energy and up, that is $5 a month or more, gets a shout out during the first episode of each month. Now, these patrons, as I have mentioned 1 million times in the past, are one of the only reasons I'm able to have a website, schedule posts, create healthy boundaries, hire a transcript editor, use a transcript service, and so much more. More that you don't even know about that is coming soon. So I really owe these people my life. So thank you to Jeremy Gloger, Ryan Science, Brianna Williams, Brittany Hawkey, Davis Bourne, Faith Newsome, Hannah Shows, Vikram Baliga, my mom, and special welcome to new podcast patron William Oda, who joined this summer. Welcome, William. Thank you, everybody who has been part of the Patreon group. If you would like to join these amazing human beings, you can find out tier options and benefits at patreon.com/deargradstudent. Lastly, there are some amazing people who are going to be joining the Dear Grad Student team over the next few weeks. I will be shouting them out, you know, once everyone's gotten used to their job, we've ironed things out, everyone's onboarded, so stay tuned for that. Okay, y'all, it's time. The episode we've all been waiting for. Today's episode is all about digital connection, science rap, and standing up to academic institutions with the one and only Dr. Raven, the science maven Baxter. Hello, listeners. The Dear Grad Student summer break is officially over. Welcome back to your favorite grad school podcast, Dear Grad Student, the podcast where grad students can come together to celebrate, commiserate, and support one another through this long and difficult journey. I'm Alana. I'm now a fifth-year doctoral student and your host, and I'm joined today by an award-winning and internationally acclaimed science educator, molecular biologist, content creator, and a global influencer per Fortune magazine's 40 Under 40 list, Dr. Raven Baxter, also known as Raven the Science Maven. Wow, welcome to the podcast!
Yay, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. I'm incredibly thrilled to have you, actually. And I feel like extra honored because you've actually defended your dissertation now. So you're officially a doctor. You're only my second or third doctor on the podcast. But you're going to have a fresh perspective on grad school. I mean, you're only, what, a week or two out?
Yeah, it was a week yesterday. So
wow.
Very fresh meat out here in these streets.
Well, congratulations times a million. You have killed it, I feel like, over the last 4 years or 3 years. You did it. I feel like it was fast.
Yes, my program was 3 years. It was built to be 4 or 5 years. But once I started, I'm like, okay, this is fun, but I gotta go. I got to get out of here ASAP.
Yeah.
No offense, but I just felt a sense of urgency and like, you know, I'm going to work very hard to get out of here as quickly as possible. And I did.
Yeah. Like, this is not it. Like, this is fine, but we're going
to
go.
Yeah. Like, this is great. I need to be here, but like, not for as long as you guys want me to be here.
You know what? I feel like I need more of that energy because I basically have figured out over the summer that I will be in grad school for 7 years. But I went straight from undergrad. I didn't do any work or master's between. So I'm like, okay, I had a lot of growing time, fine. But
yeah.
I'm slightly jealous and living vicariously through you. So enjoy. Enjoy this.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I got a master's degree after college. And then I worked for a year. And then I did 3 years and a PhD. So that was actually 7 years, too, because it was 3 years for my master's, a year working, and then 3 years for my PhD. So I'm right here with you, 7 years in grad school.
Wow.
It's no joke.
I feel better somehow.
Well, kudos to you. Are you, you're in a PhD program now?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a PhD and master's along the way. So technically the first 2 years, I guess, were like the master's part of it, and then COVID, and now like, yeah, the PhD part. So kind of separated, similar.
But kudos to you though. Like I didn't even know that you could go straight into a PhD program from undergrad. Like that wasn't even on my radar at all. So that's awesome that you did that.
Well, thank you. I didn't really have it on my radar either until I just got to a point of like, I really like science and I want to keep doing it. And it was actually a little bit of imposter syndrome that pushed me. I was like, I'm not ready for a job. What else
exactly.
can I do?
same here. I was like, no, I'm not going out there and doing anything. I'm going back to school. I can't do it. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, I've loved following your dissertation journey along, you know, online via your Twitter and other places. It was so relatable and very honest. I mean, when you were having a rough time, you're like, y'all, I can't. It's not. Today is not the day. I'll see y'all tomorrow. Like, it's not it. I do want to let people listening know where they can find you online and follow you. So where are all the places that folks listening can connect with you online?
Sure. I am Raven the Science Maven on most platforms, or a variation on that. So I'm Science Maven on TikTok. I'm Raven the Science Maven on Instagram and on YouTube. On Twitter, I'm Raven Sci Maven. Or honestly, you can just Google me, Raven the Science Maven, and it pulls up literally all of my personal business. So you're welcome to stalk me on the internet. As you see fit.
There you go. Yes, go ahead and Google Raven. You can also find everything you need in the description for this episode. So just scroll down, go ahead and click her name. Something that people might know of you, or like ways they may have found you online, would be some of these science raps that you do. As we are slowly jumping into this episode about, you know, like online connection and academic Twitter and all of that, I would love to start with sort of the blend of that, right? So your passion in science and also the science communication via rap. Huge fan. I'm like not gonna fangirl. I really promise I won't. But I really love your science communication content. Tell me a little bit about, like, yeah, how did that come about? How do you perfectly blend that science interest with who you are as a human, which is what I'm trying to do here, like relatable.
Well, first and foremost, I'm not gonna say I'm like the class clown. Because I'm really not. I'm goofy with a cause. You know, I'm not just goofy for no reason. So when I think about science and I think about, you know, all these things that I love in my life, including science, like music and dancing and being social, I'm an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I combine all of those things together and somehow it's turned into a performance, like where I am now a rapper. Like,
right.
And it's not anything that I would have predicted that would have come out of my career, but I like to make jokes. And like, I find that writing songs is kind of my way of joking about science with the public. And naturally, if you're talking about science, it can be educational because people are like, oh, what are you talking about? And like, what is this terminology that you're bringing up in your lyrics? And I want to research that.
Yeah.
And I guess the way that I do it, I always use fun, engaging, upbeat music that gets people up and dancing. So like you're dancing with me, you're having fun, but you're also listening to me talking about science. I get inspired by so many things. Maybe it's like current events where I feel like I need to deliver a message about antibodies and vaccines, or maybe I just, you know, want to talk about anything. It's really fun. It's really fun. I'm glad people like it.
I really like it. And one thing that I like when you have those moments of inspiration, because you're usually tweeting through like, there's this new song, it's really, really good, like just wait till you hear it. But your dedication for the music videos that you make of these songs are so great. And it really just makes it a visual experience too, which above and beyond it being fun, makes it so approachable and accessible. And I think that that is a thing that if we've learned anything from this pandemic, like science is not approachable and accessible for many people. And if it is, they're still pretty uncomfortable with it. You know, we joke about, okay, yeah, the antibody song is so fun. It's also like when I looked at that thread, when that first came out, there were people who were like, this is awesome. And then there were people who were like, wow, like, there is a Black scientist on my timeline talking about vaccines. I have questions. Like, I want to learn more, things like that. So not only are you having people just like jamming out to you, you're starting really important conversations. And I feel like by being such a vocal person in this and facilitating these conversations in different communities, like that's really important. And I just think you're doing really important work.
Thank you. By the way, do we have matching headphones on right now?
We do. And I really like it.
Wait, turn to the side. This is so cute. Okay.
For everyone, just so you know, these are, what are the over the ear or on the ear Beats? They're rose gold. Pink is my favorite color. I'm definitely one of those people. I'm not ashamed of it.
Same. It's really embarrassing for me. Literally everything around me is pink.
I love that you like have the pink Beats. You have like the space buns. I'm like, this is my vibe. Thank you. Like, yes. I feel like we came with the same energy, and like that's really important for me. So like, thank you.
So cool. Yay. We look so cute. I wish the viewers could see us. Like, we look cute.
Honestly, here's the thing. It's like half the time I do these, I look cute, and half the time I look like a wreck. I'm in my PJs of like for four straight days, and I'm like, welcome back to Dear Gratitude. I'm like emerging from like a week of burnout. So I'm not consistent enough for this video to go anywhere, but it's okay. Maybe one day. Yeah, if I had like a team behind me who are like helping with the video editing, maybe, but I'm not that fancy yet, but maybe one day.
We can take like a screenshot of us in our matching headphones.
That's what we'll do.
Okay. Yeah.
That is absolutely what we'll do. Well, let's go ahead and jump into, I don't know, the core of this episode and really dig deep and talk a little bit more about the networking and the online connection. Now, I know this because I've followed you for a very long time. I think you had like 10,000 followers when I started to follow you.
Oh, jeez.
I know, way back, not even a year ago, you had a very interesting and very fast rise to Twitter acclaim. And I know that most of my listeners do come from Twitter, so that's probably where they know you from, or maybe TikTok. I would love to hear the story of your sort of academic, personal, Twitter, the whole melding of it, the rise of Raven the Science Maven on Twitter. How did this happen? The deep sigh.
So, okay, I didn't know how to use Twitter really until very late 2019. And so we're in 2021 now. And I was just kind of messing around. Like, I had made one music video at that point in time. It was called Big Old Geeks. Mm-hmm. And it was a music video that I made because I was fed up with science culture and I wanted to make a gigantic statement about my place in science culture and things that I really wanted women like me to see, and just something to empower people and say, like, you can come as you are and this is what it looks like to be liberated in science. But nobody knew who I was, but I...
I knew who I am. That's
enough. I know. Like, exactly. I was like, well, I know who I am. And this is what I'm going to dare. And so I made the music video and I put it out and I was like, okay, you know, put it on YouTube and Instagram and other places. And it was starting to go viral. And the responses that I was getting were like from a lot of different people, like, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. Mm-hmm. Tying back to what you were saying before, people just super intrigued by the visibility of Black women scientists. And I'm like, dang, like, y'all have never seen a Black woman scientist ever? And these are people who are older than me, like in their 40s, mm-hmm. you know, who mm-hmm. have existed for longer than I have, saying, I've never had this representation and this inspirational. Like, I love the fact that you're having fun. I want to look up all these words that you're using. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, there's room for this.
Yeah. At the time, I was really hesitant to create content like that because, as you know, it's really uncommon to see, especially women, just embracing mm-hmm. their identities in the science space unapologetically. There's so many boundaries and barriers that put pressure on us to conform to different types of stereotypes and behaviors and things that may or may not be natural to us individually. So I didn't know if I was making a mistake or not in creating something that was super like left field. You know, there's girls twerking in the music video, like we're in club wear. Yeah. We're doing all kinds of stuff, but it was all like totally scientific when you listen to the lyrics. But people really loved it. And I actually did my dissertation research on this. They felt like it was giving them a license to be free in STEM. So once I started realizing that I had a place, and also that I didn't necessarily have to separate my professional identity from my personal identity online, I decided that, you know, I was going to just be Raven in one space. I was trying to start being active on Twitter and I'd be like, hey, you know, how do you use Twitter? And people would be like, well, you have to make two accounts, one account for school and one account for like yourself. And I'm like, why would I keep up with two accounts? Like, right. I can barely keep up with my emails.
Yeah, yeah.
Why am I making two Twitter accounts? Like, that was completely overwhelming to me. So yeah. I just made one. And I just started talking about everything on this one account, really unapologetically. Like, my whole life, I've always been very vocal about mm-hmm. things that I felt like needed to be talked about, issues. And mm-hmm. really, I've never cared who was listening. I just wanted my voice to be out there and heard.
Yes.
So one day I went on this rant on Twitter about science education and how it's not just for kids. I believe the pandemic was just starting. It might have been January.
I was going to say, this might have been how I found you, actually. Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm like, this sounds familiar.
Yes. And I went on this rant. I'm like, you know, this pandemic is starting in China. It's going to come over here. And we got adults in America who are emailing me asking me to make slime for their kids. I was like, no, you guys, adults, you know, need to get their lives together,
yes.
learn some science, because this is not, okay, science, yeah, we're making slime, but also we're making vaccines. Also, you don't know what a virus is. Like,
yep.
also, y'all need to buckle up because we're about to be in our house for a year.
Yeah.
And you don't understand that. Like, this is about to be a serious problem. Like, nobody's getting it. And I was really frustrated because I was getting all these emails about kids, like, come do science with our kids. And I'm like, I love kids, but also, like, do you know what science is, grown adult?
Ooh,
like,
say that.
Do you know what's going on?
Wow.
And usually it's like, no, this is good for the kids. So I went on a rant and people just started following me after that. And
yep. Yeah,
just continued ranting. And
those are my favorite tweets you have, where either you're ranting about something, you're like, how do I have X thousand followers on Twitter? I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, I love that energy because I don't know what I'm doing. And you have said so many things I'm relating to. You know, first, when you were talking about representation in science and how people would be like, I've never seen, you know, a Black woman in this space. And this reminds me so much of my fourth episode way back in 2020, I think, with Annie Reyes, who I'll link below. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that because she was part of the Black in Neuro movement that happened way back when, one of the very first big Black in X movements on Twitter. And for mm-hmm. so many people, for myself included, like, of course I know, yeah, there are Black scientists, but my reaction to that way back in August 2020 was like, there are so many. Why yes. don't I know this? Why are my eyes not open? And so this is so clearly needed. And I think when we think about the timing as well, these Black in weeks were happening. It was just so cool. I had the same reaction of like seeing you do this work. I'm just like, fuck yeah. Like, I'm so into it. And I loved what you were sharing. And the other thing is, you talked so much about being unapologetically yourself.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this in my birthday episode. I was talking with Jasmine Brooks, who I'll also link her episode below. I'd like to shout out my previous guests. We were talking about this, that one of my goals for this coming year is to be comfortable with the amount of space I take up and to not apologize mm-hmm. for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very similar to you. I'm extroverted. I am big with my opinions. I'm big with what I say. I do talk a lot. And I've felt a lot of shame around that in academia. I've been told to stop talking. I've been told that I don't say meaningful things when I speak. And that can sometimes be true. Okay, like sometimes it's fine. Okay. Ah. We can all be a little more concise and precise with what we say. However, mm-hmm. it has led to times of feeling shamed about it when I don't need to, right? When I'm just taking up space and existing. So I have just related a ton to what you're saying. And I have somewhat done the same as you. I mean, I have a podcast Twitter, but my personal Twitter, the one I made in high school, I don't use it anymore. I am mm-hmm. just who I am professionally because I couldn't have that separation between PhD student me and who I was as a person. I'm like, look, I'm a hot mess and I'm a PhD student and I'm going to be both for you and you are just going to have to take it. And that's just it.
Yeah. And that's, I wish, I don't know. Like, I know I make cool music videos and science videos and all that, but like, I'm really surprised by how many people follow me just because I do that, because I feel like that should be normal, you know?
I
like,
I agree with you.
I don't think I should be special because I talk about many things on my platform. I think yeah. everyone should. I understand it's complicated and it's more than just, you know, you should do this, but like,
yeah.
can we like move towards that?
I mean, welcome to the reason that this podcast exists. Okay. I mean, like, totally. I'm totally with you on that. And that it's literally why this was the space I created to cause that meld for me, because not only was COVID isolating, but I felt like I was, you know, turning 25 and I was just going through it. And I was like, physically, I was like having physical effects. I was like, I had eczema for the first time in my life from stress. I was like, yeah. I can't. Like, it's affecting my physical health. I just need to be me. So I love that you've done that too. I do hope that we move to this place of being able to do that. And, you know, in addition to the people following you just like casually online for being a grad student, being a PhD student, being a scientist, and being yourself, you've had some pretty amazing opportunities. Other than what I've listed at the beginning, I mean, I know you were on Red Table Talk. I know you've been on Ologies. I'm sure there's a million things you've been on that I've missed. So it sounds like it's been really beneficial and fun as well, in addition to being like good for your career. Like, it sounds like you've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. And going back to being your unapologetic self, I feel like it's so rewarding to have been able to put myself out there unapologetically and really have people, large organizations co-signing, like NASA loves me. They're like my biggest fans.
Wait, stop it. Hold on. That is so not casual. And you said that so casually. I'm not okay. NASA? Okay.
Yeah. No, they really love me and they reach out a lot and of messages of support. I know. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that doesn't sound normal.
Amazing. I like want to say congratulations again, but I don't want to make this like the congratulations to Raven podcast episode. But like, wow, I'm like just happy for you. That's amazing.
Well,
a dream.
I mean, it says a lot though. And, you know, I'm not just like name dropping. I'm saying that because it's like I came into this space from left field. Like the way that I busted into SciComm, like I made a whole, I'm not going to say it was raunchy, but like it was like, it was like a traditionally hip hop science rap music video, and like I did not cut any corners, you know, like the dancing, the outfits, like we have luxury vehicles in there, you know, and like it's very hip-hop, and that's not something you ever see in the science space. So for me to kind of have established that as my foundation as a science communicator and still have large organizations supporting me really makes me feel like I have a space. And I think it signals to other people who come from marginalized and underrepresented backgrounds, even urban spaces, that they have a space. And it's just nice to see the support. Like I'm in a partnership with 3M right now. I'm their ambassador for their, they do an annual Young Scientist Challenge in partnership with Discovery Education. And it's like a really nice event for middle school kids. And they compete to solve grand challenges in science. And there's a huge 5-figure cash reward or prize for the winner. I know, it's amazing. And they chose me as the face of it for this year's competition.
Wow.
And just being able to have these opportunities and not have to change anything about myself.
Yes.
And I can come as I am means so much. And I hope that because I have these opportunities, other people like me will be able to have the same types of opportunities in the future.
Exactly. I mean, and the first thing that came to my mind is like, by doing this and even representing things for kids events, which I know you've said already, adults can do science too, but
yeah,
you give that like little middle school girl permission to do the same. And you do it from a foundational place, like the beginning of someone's science career, thinking I can be me and do this. And I feel like I had that awakening this year, right? Mm-hmm. So for that to be happening for like some young girl interested in science is like borderline very emotional to think about.
Yeah, isn't
it? You know, like it's really beautiful. So I'm not speechless. I'm more just trying to not repeat myself because I just once again want to say you're doing amazing work. But it's more than even just like the great amount of work you do for science and for adults. But like the foundation that you're setting and the permission that you give others to do the same is like really impactful, like beyond anything.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much. Oh my God.
But like you did that, you know what I mean? Like you really have done that. I think in many ways, I myself have been like, I can be more unapologetically myself because look, it isn't so frowned upon. It isn't so bad. I'm not just going to be like, oh, she's annoying. I mean, I might be, but I'm like, I don't care anymore. I mean, I have to imagine there's obviously been a ton of pros to having this online presence, but I have to imagine it's sometimes hard. Have there been any like difficulties? Has there been like challenges with having such influence or so quickly, at least, in some of these spaces?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, one of the main challenges is reminding people that I'm literally just one person. Like, yep. I never planned on any of this happening. And I'm really grateful that I do have a platform and that I do have these opportunities and such a large following, but people do expect like perfection almost sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like I'm learning that because I have so many people looking at my profile and things that I post, like I do have to be more careful to make sure I'm cultivating safe spaces and making sure that I am creating accessible content. And not just because I have so many people, like it's important to do that regardless, but I get called out for it and it makes me uncomfortable, like, to be honest. Like, I don't want 50 million people saying, "You forgot your alt text." I'm like, oh my God, I forgot my alt text. And then I like go home and cry.
Right, because of course you have the right intentions. Like, there are some things, it's just to remember all the little pieces that come along that you have to always have in the back of your head whenever you post. Yeah, I get that.
It's a lot of pressure, and I'm learning every day how to balance, like, I guess now I'm a public figure. That's what people call me when I come into some conversation. It's weird because I feel like that's so pretentious, but like public figure, like I have to learn how to think like a public figure, you know. I'm representing science.
Yeah, at least you're not just an influencer, though. I do feel like public figure is like, there's more legitimacy. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with being an influencer, but I feel like that's the step above. That's like the influencer with a PhD status, you know what I mean?
That's so funny. I had to like look up what public figure meant because so many people were calling me that. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I don't work for the government.
Yeah.
it said something about notoriety or something. I don't know, but it's just nice to know where I am in life.
For sure. Hey, new season, same sponsor. Let's take a moment to thank the sponsor for today's episode. Today's episode is being sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the world's largest online counseling service. They assess your needs and they match you with your own licensed professional therapist. This is available worldwide. You can access your account online at any time. You can message your counselor. You can schedule your weekly sessions all from one place. Plus, if you decide that your therapist is not a good match for you, it's easy and free to switch counselors if needed. BetterHelp is also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and there are different therapists with different identities who work for them, so you have more options for who could be your therapist, and there's financial aid available, which I like because this makes it more accessible to you, grad students, who are listening. We are about to start a new semester. We are coming out of COVID times. It is stressful. If you need a little bit more support, this is a great option for you. So as a Dear Grad Student listener, if you're interested in trying out BetterHelp, you can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Dear Grad Student. That's BETTERHELP. Again, the full link that you'll want is betterhelp.com/Dear Grad Student. You can also find that link at the bottom of the episode description or on the support page of the podcast website. It will take you right to that 10% off offer. All right, back to talking to Dr. Raven, the science maven Baxter. So, and you know, in addition to connecting with people on your Twitter account, right, you also engage with people online via other science ways. So, like, you know, you have STEMbassy, and I know you have the Black in Science Communication Group, which really demonstrates, of course, that Twitter is not the only way to be in science and be in spaces and connect with people. Can you tell me a little bit about, like, those experiences? And I think that, I mean, it sounds like based on what we've talked about, those have been another way that you've been able to blend who you are and the things that you're most passionate about with people.
Yeah, one of my main priorities as a science communicator is to build community. And so STEMbassy, a web series that I created last year, was a way for me to interact with the community live. I started it on my own, but very shortly after I started it, I had four other hosts come and join me who are amazing, by the way. We were all strangers, and I put out a post online. I was like, does anybody want to get into shenanigans with me? And they responded.
Amazing application call.
Seriously. And they responded and they ended up being the actual perfect people. And we're now on our fourth season, actually, of the show. And it's amazing. But on the show, we bring on every week a STEM professional, and not just any STEM professional, but someone who's active in their community and also cares about building community. Yeah. So whether they're a scientist or engineer or X, Y, and Z who also fights for social justice causes or is involved in some sort of charity work, we invite them on the show and talk about their STEM journeys and also their intersections in life and what their values are. We've never had a bad show. There's so much to learn from everyone. We invite a lot of people from diverse backgrounds to come on the show And it's a really fun time. We play games with our audience and we used to give out prizes to our audience as well. Yeah, so that's STEMBASY. Another way that I do science outreach is through clothes.
Yes.
Smarty Pants. So I started I guess you could call it a clothing line. Mm-hmm, It's an online store called Smarty Pants Clothing. And basically, that's just another way for me to share science with the world, but allow people to wear science, I guess, literally on their sleeves. But you'll see the things in my store. They're not like traditional t-shirts. I have sparkly shirts that say science.
You're
on
wearing
it,
one of your shirts now, right?
Oh, I am.
Yeah, I recognized it.
It's actually a sports bra.
Oh, is it? I couldn't tell.
Periodic table clothes and
yes,
rhinestone safety goggles. And
yes, I need one of those hair clips. Those have been on my radar, but I just haven't taken the dive yet. One of my previous guests, Ryan, is obsessed with the stuff that you sell. I think her says science. I think that's
oh,
what
awesome.
Says. She
I
loves
love it.
Yeah. She'll so listen fun. To this and she'll be like dying that I told you that she's obsessed with it, but she really
is. It's okay. I think I might know who you're talking about too. Shout out to Ryan.
Shout out to Ryan. Yeah, we love Ryan. I'll link her episode in the description as well. So, you know, thinking about all of these things we've talked about, right? Other than people wanting to listen to this episode because they're a grad student or they're a postdoc or maybe they're applying to grad school or maybe they're just listening because they know you from online, I have to think that there are people who are like, I also want this sense of connection, right? And obviously, like, I'm right there with you because this is something that I've been working to do. I mean, happy to say that you're now part of the Dear Grad Student community. Thanks for being here. But, you know, I think there are a lot of people who are looking to do the blending of the personal and the scientific and the academic. What is your greatest piece of advice for those people listening who are like, maybe they don't want to be a public figure, but they want this similar sense of blending and community. What's your biggest piece of advice for that?
I would say bring everything that you have to the table. The best way to build community is honestly to put yourself out there, but genuinely, like authentically. I always bring this up when I do workshops and give certain seminars. I talk about that Shrek quote where he's like, people are like onions, or was it donkey? I don't know. Somebody, one of them said this.
Yeah.
Like, people are like onions. You have layers and like blah, 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 and you peel back the layers. But we are like onions. There's things that we wear on the outside and that are outward facing to the world. And then as you peel back the layers, there's more inside and there's more and there's more. And those are all parts of our identity. And I think sometimes we kind of hold back from peeling back some of the layers for various reasons. But I think it's so important that we do peel back our layers because there's more things that we can connect with each other about, and we can't read each other's minds. We don't want to just guess or use our prejudice to assume what you're about. Like, I think it's kind of up to us individually to unapologetically come into our spaces and allow that opportunity for other people to relate to us and form connections. And that's what I try to do in my science communication work, which is why you'll see me complain about grad school and like, you'll see me complain about, it's real. And like, if I didn't complain about grad school, then that was fake. Like,
yes,
I was literally suffering, and we can talk about that too. But yeah, like, just come as you are, and the people who like you will like you. The people who don't like you, they won't like you. And so what? That's their loss. They missed out on a friend, and ooh, you don't need that energy in your life. Like, just be you.
Yes. Well, let's go ahead and do shift over into grad school. I mean, first things first, right? It's okay to love and hate grad school. I think that's one thing of like this, you can be suffering through this and still be proud of it and still love your science and feel really complicated about the institutional sexism and racism and all of that and still like the science you do and feel purpose in that. What was your experience like that? I mean, you already mentioned the suffering, but like what, I mean, tell me a little bit about all that.
So
I love the deep sighs, by the way.
I know, because it's so deep in my spirit.
And you are just coming out to see the light again.
Well, okay. I'll try to make a long story short and say my master's degree was awesome. I did a master's degree in biology. It went great. You know, I felt like I was supported. I did not feel like I didn't belong in the program. I understood the assignment. Like, yes, it was great.
I understood the assignment. Amazing.
I did.
What is that like?
Yes, right. And then when it came down to me getting into a PhD program, I had to choose. I mean, I only applied to two because I was still literally clueless at that point of what I was doing in my career. But I knew I liked teaching, but I also knew I loved science. So I applied to a science education program and I applied to a biology program. And so I did both of those applications at the same time. And the biology program, I went through multiple interviews. Like, I was like at the third stage of this admissions process.
Wow.
And at the very last step, when it was time for them to decide if they were going to admit me or not, they decided not to.
Oh.
On the basis that because I was interested in education as well as science, they felt like I wouldn't be a good fit for their program.
And how did that work out for them?
So embarrassing. But
not for you.
So, but the thing was,
yeah,
at that point in time when they told me that, I had already worked as a corporate molecular scientist for 2 years. I had a master's degree in molecular biology and I had good GRE scores. So
yeah, insert clown face emoji here.
Super gigantic clown face. Like what? What the freak?
Yeah.
So they rejected me from the program. And I actually, at the time I responded to them, I was like, you know what? I disagree with your decision. I think I would have been a phenomenal student in your program.
Ooh, say that.
Yes. No, that's literally what I said. I remember writing that. And I was like, that was kind of
energy.
Because I knew I was an excellent fit. I would have knocked it out the park. But they, for some reason, didn't feel that way.
Apparently.
Or wanted, you know, they had a very purist attitude about keeping science science and no educators allowed, which is mm-hmm. backwards because this is a school. But anyway, yeah. I ended up getting a fellowship that supported my full tuition in the science education program. And that was really awesome. I ended up graduating from that program.
Yeah.
But, you know, that had some challenges too. Like I, not only was I switching fields,
yes.
because as I had mentioned before, I was strictly in science prior to starting in the science education PhD program. So I'm going from a completely technical background to going to the social sciences, which was a mind flip. Okay.
Yes, huge.
Total mind flip. So I was going through that. I'm basically learning, starting from scratch with the social sciences, but I also was fighting policy. Like,
yes,
I told you I got the fellowship, but I was also working at the time. I had a full-time job at a college. I was an academic advisor and I was also lecturing undergraduate biology courses. So they actually tried to take away my fellowship from me.
Okay.
I know, because I was working and they felt that because I was working, I didn't deserve the fellowship anymore, even though there was no written policy that stated that I couldn't work. So that was my fight.
You know, you're the second person to tell me something like that.
Are you kidding?
Happened. No, I'm not kidding. In
Hate
fact,
it.
I know a previous guest I had, Maddie Orr, I'll link her episode in the description, but she had the same thing where like in her second or third year, she got a job as like an adjunct or like a visiting professorship and they had a huge problem with it. And I'm like, okay, hang on. You have this student who is like basically a star student, absolutely killing it, knocking it out of the park, who earns more success. Isn't that good for you in your program? Mm-hmm. Like, I will never understand that logic of, like, the possessiveness of academia to be like, no, our, like, child, Raven. Like, she can't be anyone else's. She can't be involved in anything. It's, like, just us. Why? Like, you are literally limiting their success and therefore limiting, like, future success and reflection of your own program. I will just, like, I'll never get it.
It's so backwards. And that's, like, another hour-long conversation we can talk about that. But, like, so I was fighting that, too. And as this was happening, I was starting to gain notoriety in online spaces as Raven the Science Maven. And, you know, I had finished fighting that fight at school with my fellowship. I was able to keep my fellowship. I was doing well in my classes.
Yes.
I have almost a 4.0.
No big deal.
But no biggie. But, you know, it was really kind of, that was traumatizing for me because I had to fight for my livelihood at that point. They were asking me to quit my job. And it's like, dude, how am I going to pay rent? You guys are only paying me $12,000 a year. Like,
no.
Yeah. They ended up raising the living stipend for graduate students after I was fighting all this.
Wow.
But that's side note, they also added in language preventing students from working with fellowships after I fought this. So they raised the living stipend, but they also added in prohibitory language in the contract, which is We hate it.
We're having a lot of feelings. We're going to let them go. Right.
So the weird part about this is everything totally flip-flopped once I started gaining notoriety. And all of a sudden they're like, whoop, whoop, Raven. Like,
I bet they were.
I became the actual mascot of my grad program. And it made me super uncomfortable because it's like the same people that I was fighting for, you know, my livelihood and like to keep my fellowship and all these things that I earn. Now, you know, they're praising me and they're like, wow, you know, you make our school so proud. You know, we want to honor you. I'm like, this is crazy.
Okay, maybe I am wrong here. Feel free to let me know if I'm like off kilter, but like, why do I feel extra icky about that with you being a Black woman?
Yeah, you should definitely feel extra icky. Okay, I felt extra icky
like,
too.
This is like worse that it was like, we're giving her a hard time, but like, we'll praise her now that we have this external validation that now this Black student's worthy. Like, I do not think so.
Yeah, it was. Like that. And very much icky because I also felt like I was being overlooked at the beginning of my program when I was asking for help and I was seeking opportunities. And I'm like, hey, can somebody please take me seriously? Like, I will do the work. I just have questions. I need help, like guidance. Hello. And it was crickets. You know, I have an amazing advisor, by the way. I love my advisor, but there were times where I couldn't just lean on her. Like, I needed other people to step in and like guide me. And
the institution is separate, right?
Yeah. I got nothing. And so I started getting notoriety, things changed. It was frustrating, but like ultimately I'm glad to have received the support from my university, but I feel very mixed feelings about it, you know, especially considering how I started at school and if I wasn't a notable figure X, Y, and Z, how would I have been treated? How would I have made it out of the program? And
this is, you know, this is something that is sad to me because it's like, look, every single student, if you admit them to your program at a baseline, you are investing in them and you need to go balls to the wall. Like, you need to go 100% into every student. Like, a student should not have to earn the right to be accommodated, to get help, to get whatever, whatever. If you admit them, that should be the door opening of what do you need from us? How do we get you to be successful? And I mean, like, my immediate reaction is like, just the biggest eye. I mean, my eyes could not roll farther back in my head because it's like, is it not the trope? I mean, how many times have we seen this, right? Like, oh, all of a sudden this student is worthy. And it gets even more complicated with your intersectional identities as a Black woman, as a woman with ADHD. I know you talk about that online often. It's like, they were almost there. You know what I mean? Like, they were almost, and then they just really let you down. I feel frustrated for you because I'm like, we see this time and time and time again. And you know, for the rest of forever, Raven, the science maven, was from our university. But like, you'll never hear the lack of support or the fact that you basically had to earn that. I mean, it's just like, you're not the only person with this story. And I'm like sad about it. And it's part of the reason why I like to scream about this, because I want other people to pick up these patterns and recognize like how problematic this is. And I also think it's worth saying that if you're a grad student and you don't feel worthy, it probably isn't fully your fault for that, because we're made to not feel worthy enough. We're made to feel like we have to earn love and respect at a baseline from the university that's like, you're enough, just kidding. I mean, it's just so much. I just have a lot of feelings about this.
You're right. But the thing is, like, I love talking about this publicly.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when you're at an institution, you know, people expect you to protect the institution, which is understandable. However, when you're suffering at the institution, when the institution does you wrong, who are you going to stick up for? Are you going to stick up for yourself, or are you going to protect what's harming you? Although I am or was a student at this institution, and although, you know, I did get a degree, like, I do have a truth to tell, and that is my experience. You know, everything wasn't amazing.
And like, both of those things can exist. You can be grateful for what you learned And this is why on the podcast I use this word, like, academic abuse. Like, the what you're describing of, like, who do I protect, myself or the thing that, you know, controlled me and did whatever, like, those kinds of decisions, this is the way that academia abuses grad students. And it's really unfortunate, but I love that you're speaking publicly. I will continue to speak publicly. And I'm really glad that you chose the podcast as one place, as one platform to speak about this. I think so many people are going to relate it. So I just want to say thank you for sharing and, like, for your vulnerability with this. I mean, we're extroverted, so it's easy to talk, but it's still, they're tough topics, you know?
Yeah.
I just appreciate it.
I want, and I'm sure you want this too, for grad students to find their voice. It's still a formative time for us. Like you said, and I said, we come into these programs basically still trying to find ourselves and are trying to seek out, okay, what do I want to do with my career? I want to keep learning, but I'm still just testing out the waters here and really still learning about myself. And I think that's a terrible time to take on a habit of not advocating for yourself when you're still learning about yourself. And it takes practice. It's very scary because these institutions are bigger than us and, you know, they have power. They're providing for us an education, but there's humans at the base of this institution who are making decisions, and we have to talk about these things, and people listen. Like, for example, I told the story online about my admissions process to the biology program and the way that I was rejected, and word got around back to the biology department. One of the professors from the department sent me an apology letter.
I remember, because didn't you post half of that online too, where you're like,
I did. Yeah, I posted it online.
I was like, I loved that. I was literally like, okay, I'm obsessed.
I made sure it was an anonymous post, but I wanted grad students to see, like, I verbalized my pain, or I vocalized my pain to the world and my story and what actually happened to me. And the department was actually sorry. You know, somebody, a human being who's a decision maker in the department, actually was sorry and, like, actually listened, and that somebody was on my side. Yeah. Somebody who was involved in the process was on my side. But because of the institution as a whole, you know, things didn't necessarily work out favorably for me, but, like, I got an apology and somebody cared. And that was important for me to show to other grad students, because our voices do matter, and we do deserve an apology sometimes.
You know what? We do. And some we'll never get. And that is what it is. But I do love, I think that that's the perfect way to close this out, is just talking about, like, tying it even back to your presence online of how honest you are about the hard stuff. You're also honest when somebody needs to be called out. And I think for people who don't have a sense of notoriety in places, you know, there isn't always that happy ending, or it's a lot harder or scarier to do something. And I love that you demonstrate that, like, it can still be worth it, and that, like, there are times when things flip. Like, who knows if this department will make a change, but certainly a message was sent. And that is a great starting point. So, Raven, I just want to thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I do want to finish off quickly here with just some final thoughts. I know we talked about a ton of topics, and I would love to give listeners a few bullet points from whatever you remember that, like, after they listen to this episode, just what you hope they think about afterwards, what you hope they're, you know, they're trying to fall asleep at night, their mind is racing, they're thinking about the podcast. Like, what things do you hope that they're thinking about at that point? What are your final thoughts?
Well, just going back to what we were just talking about, like, I feel like a big part of being able to use your voice and call people out on and speak up about institutions and your experiences is, like, also being transparent about yourself. You know, I'm not a perfect person.
Yeah.
I'm by no means a perfect person. I'm very upfront, I feel like, especially online, about my imperfections, because I don't ever want to make people feel like I'm coming from this high and mighty place. I've never made a mistake. Like, I'm a human as well, calling out other humans who are also making mistakes, and we're all flawed individuals. It's just that some people have more power and more like a higher position to actually influence change. And so we need to start screaming at people. And screaming at people and making sure that they're listening. But also in doing that, like, a big reason why I feel like I'm able to do that is because I feel confident as my unapologetic self.
Yeah.
My confidence comes from my passion and feeling like, you know, I love science. I want people to get excited about science. I feel confident because my community supports me, honestly, and the things that I do, because I come unapologetically, and I'm able to not only have the support from others, but I also feel like I can support myself. Like, I'm my biggest cheerleader.
Yes.
In life. And I think when people go to sleep at night, I think that the one thing that I want them to remember is to always be their number one cheerleader. Because if you really do believe in yourself at the core of your being, you can honestly do anything. You can call people out, call out institutions. If you believe in yourself, then you know that you're a flawed person and you don't mind sharing that with the world. You're going to try extra hard to do the things that you're passionate about, or even share your passion with the world, or maybe even take some chances that you might not have taken if you hadn't believed in yourself. So I think work on yourself first and then work on everything else after that, whatever the everything else might be. But you are your number one priority.
Yes. I love those final thoughts. I feel like you hit two or three of the ones I was hoping to hit, which happens every single time because I always let the guests go first. No, it was amazing. I totally like retweet, endorse, love the like working on yourself and being your biggest cheerleader. I don't think there's any way I could have started this podcast without having done some of that own work of myself. And it was really scary to unapologetically be myself. So I think to just add on a little piggyback of like, it's really scary to do what we're talking about and do it anyways. I think that being unapologetically myself was one of the scariest things to do publicly, like with friends, sure, family, sure. It can be scary publicly because not everyone's going to like you, like Raven said earlier. That would be my first takeaway. My second, I guess maybe 1.5 would be go follow Raven everywhere online. We're going to drop those places here in a moment, but you're just genuinely enjoyable to follow online. I feel human. Aww. I'm also just genuinely entertained. Love watching your music videos drop. I share them with my family. I'm literally like, try to tell me this is not a bop. I dare you. Like, you can't. So big fan of that, obviously. And I think my last takeaway would just be like, it's okay to scream about institutional issues and to stand and advocate for yourself in institutional spaces. And maybe for you, part of that is being unapologetically yourself and like being whatever you need to be. Maybe it's something else going on, but Raven's done it. Maybe I'll find those threads and link them for people to read, because honestly, like, in as much as they are dead serious, they're also hilarious because you're literally like, I don't care. Let me tell you what happened. And I'm like, I'm getting my popcorn. I need a glass of wine. Let's go. Like, this is going to be a journey.
I don't care.
Like, I love it.
We have to speak our truth. You can't let anything get in the way of your truth.
Yes.
You just can't.
Ooh, I really like that. Ooh, I feel like my body just got all shivery. That was good. Yes.
We're just wiggling around here.
I know. All right, Raven, why don't we remind everyone where they can find you online? Where are all those places on social media where folks can connect with you?
Sure. So I am Dr. Raven Baxter now.
That's right. Dr. PhD.
You can find me on Instagram at Raven the Science Maven, on YouTube as Raven the Science Maven, on Twitter at Raven SciMaven, and TikTok at Science Maven. And my website is scimaven.com. And you can, if you want to get in contact with my team, if you want to get into a shenanigan, my contact info is there as well.
Yes. And Raven does reply to those, because I think that's how I contacted you one way or another. I think that that's how. So unlike me, who's very bad at responding to DMs, although maybe by the time this is out, I've gotten much better. And hopefully I have a team now working with me to help on that. But Raven's already very good at that. So definitely reach out to Raven. But I just want to say thank you again for being my season two opener, for being on this podcast. I really appreciate you spending this Saturday afternoon spreading all your wisdom. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is actually my first opportunity to talk about my grad school experience. And I can't think of a better place to do that other than this podcast. Yes. So thanks for making a space to talk about these things. It's so important.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, honored to be the first place that, you know, first platform that you're sharing that. And, you know, I hope that people really hear what you've said, absorb something, learn something, take something from it, and change whatever they need to in their lives to be a little bit happier, not let grad school hit them like a bulldozer, because I feel like it does that.
It can definitely do that, but yeah, we're going to get through this together.
That's right. That's right. Well, Raven, for the millionth time, thank you so much for coming on and being a guest. Listeners, thank you so much for listening and for joining me back here for Dear Grad Student for the season 2 premiere. And I will talk to you next week. Hashtag bye.
Bye.
You can connect with Dear Grad Student on Twitter at Dear Grad Student, on Instagram at Dear Grad Student Pod, and on Facebook at Dear Grad Student. Everything that you need for the podcast can be found on the podcast website at deargradstudent.com. If you're looking for merch, you can go to the website, click merch in the menu at the top, or look me up on Redbubble. If you just want to listen to me ramble online, you can find me on Twitter at Alana_Gloger. That's ELANA_GLOGER. And of course, everything for this podcast is made possible by the amazing podcast patrons. If you want to help out, you can join them at patreon.com/deargradstudent for $1, $3, $5, or $10 a month. If you want to help out the podcast in other ways, you can leave a review. Best place for that is Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or Google Podcasts. Be sure that you are following Dear Grad Student on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever you find your other favorite shows to be sure that you are notified when each episode goes live. As a reminder, all resources and links mentioned in today's episode can be found in the description. And until next time, warmest regards, best wishes, sincerely, Alana.